You have to acknowledge that when you move into leadership, you're usually moving into a new phase of your career where you don't need to do, and in fact, the quicker you can let go of the execution stuff, the quicker you'll be better at your new role and your new phase. But that means you have to be okay with not being the expert anymore. So if you coach, instead of telling your people what to do, you're honoring them as the experts in their role, and you're showing, like, the humility that comes with confidence of a leader. I don't have to be the go-to person who tells you how to do everything. In fact, I'm here to help you better resource yourself.
Managers are realizing that coaching is not just for life coaches anymore, and it is a real leadership superpower. So today I am sitting down with ICF certified executive coach, leadership coach, and IGC graduate Laura Weldy, who has worked with powerhouse organizations like Microsoft and UCLA. And she is the real deal, not only when it comes to being an amazing executive coach, but she's also come on specifically to talk to us today about how coaching skills can make great leaders. So the most powerful questions that managers can ask, the data that proves that coaching is actually one of the most valuable things an organization can invest in. So whether you lead a team of two or 200 or 2,000, get ready to take notes. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thanks for having me. My favorite show to come be a guest on.
I want to talk about how people can manage. I actually feel like I need a lot of your help inside of this episode. Like, I'm so excited to hear some of your responses to the questions that I prepared. But what do you think it is right now where you have found that executive coaching or leadership coaching is so in demand? Like, why should people stay watching this episode or listening to this episode? Why now?
I think the number one problem that most companies are facing from, like, an internal people perspective is bandwidth. Like, most companies are just really struggling to get things done in a timely manner with the number of people that they have. And because of that bandwidth stretch, most people managers in formal people management roles are not managing their people. Instead, they're working on, you know, the other project that needs to get done and bringing it across the finish line. And so I think now more than ever, companies are looking to kind of outsource that people development to executive coaches or to leadership coaches so that they can amplify the impact of the people within their walls without feeling like they have to hire a bunch more people leaders.
I really do believe that if you're listening to this or watching this, you are invested in improving your organization or improving your own leadership skills. Or perhaps you're even watching this from the angle of, like, is leadership coaching or executive coaching something I would want to do? And so obviously this is all opinion, but I do like to bring in some facts, and I'm obsessed with the new ICF Global Research Report. So the International Coach Federation, who I know you've also worked closely with over the years, their latest study found that 70% of companies using coaching reported improved individual performance, and over 50% saw better team performance. Do you think those numbers reflect what you've seen?
I think the majority definitely respond really well to coaching because it is a creative and collaborative process. And in the workplace, like, it treats you like an adult, right? You're not being talked down to or being told what to do. Instead, you're being partnered with, and that helps people feel a sense of, like, control and creation in their career, which is important.
That was, like, the perfect segue into where I was hoping this conversation would go to, because I really want to know from your extensive experience, like, working with different organizations, huge and small, and individuals who are, like, moving up in their own leadership, like, if you could teach every leader or manager in the world three skills that they could bring into their organization, like, whether it's me managing, you know, a dozen people or someone else managing thousands, what are your top three skills that, like, any manager could implement to take on more of, like, a coaching role versus a do this right now kind of role?
Number one, I think, is ask, don't assume. We all make the connection of, oh, they're complaining about this, it's probably because of this and this. Because we're trying to be efficient, we assume what the problem is. But, you know, as coach, so often we discover that the problem is not the initial complaint. And the complaint is usually a symptom of the problem. So if I'm complaining about my coworker, it's easy for my boss to be like, okay, I'll just not put you two on projects together. But maybe the bigger issue is not that coworker, it's The fact that I don't feel seen in any of the project work that I'm doing, and I don't know how to get noticed and network with people at a higher level. So ask, don't assume, number one.
Oh, good. I need to do that in life. Okay, what's number two?
Okay, number two is coaching to ownership. So we talked about bandwidth earlier. Most people I meet who are in a people leadership role feel like they don't have the time to coach somebody because they have built up coaching to be this like super time intensive process. It's actually going to save you time and energy if you can coach people as your default instead of jumping into fixing problems for them. So when somebody comes to you with a challenge, learn how to coach them into ownership of that challenge. And that way it doesn't become, you don't become the bottleneck of, okay, this is another thing on my to-do list that has to get done. I have to go in and fix this issue.
What could that look like? I know I'm putting you on the spot for an example, but say I was like working in a corporate environment. I don't know. I'm just making this up. It's been so long. I don't even know what that means. But, and I am, you know, having a problem with another team. They're holding up all of my projects. Like, I'm just, again, making this up, but like, what would coaching to ownership look like if I was your, you know, employee or under your management and I was constantly complaining about other departments holding up my productivity?
A lot of people in a traditional workplace setting feel like they have to complain to get permission to act. So when you're thinking about coaching to ownership, instead of, okay, I hear your complaint, like, let me go talk to them, I think it looks like, what have we tried already? What is the long-term solution that you hope comes out of this conflict? How do you think we should position this so that so-and-so is most receptive to this conversation? So you're basically asking them the questions to create the outline of what they're going to do about it. And then I think the accountability piece is, do you feel like equipped to go out there and give this a shot? Are you ready to go give this a shot and then come back and tell me how it goes?
Wow. Looking at everything you've mentioned, Laura, the three again. Number one was ask, don't assume. Number two, you said coaching to ownership. And number three, you said coaching to awareness. And I'm looking at all of that from like this like snow globe kind of thing. Like it's all coaching. And I love the two, ownership versus
awareness.
I did it again. Ownership versus awareness. Because it also reminds me of like you're coaching to the doing or the strategy or what that person is actually going to take ownership for and the being of like how they're showing up to the role. And we've talked about this on this podcast so many times and of course in our coaching school, but it's always both. And to see true change, whether it's in an individual or an organization, you have to bring light to both the doing and the being. And just I'm highlighting that for you. I'm sure you already knew that, but maybe our listeners didn't.
No, I never like consciously made that connection, but you're right. It is so many people want to use, especially leadership or executive, for only tactical conversations. And it makes sense because we're tactical people generally. But when you start to push a little further into the awareness piece, that's when they realize that there's all these like connections between why they're doing something or how they're doing something in one area is how they're doing it everywhere. Right.
Oh, my favorite. Yeah. Well, it's so interesting because I'm like, all the time, if you're doing what you're quote unquote supposed to be doing, if you're doing what has worked in the past, if you're doing the things you want to be doing, if you're doing all of the right things, but you're not getting the results that you want, you have to stop exhausting the do, and you have to start looking at who you're being. And I think that goes in every department. It goes with individuals. It goes with entire organizations. And like, if you are not being the person that gets that result in some way, shape, or form, you have to have some level of awareness and change. Again, on a being-based level, which may sound a little airy-fairy to some people, but it is the reality. And I think that obviously coaching and coaching research has really shown that it takes that multi-level impact to really change an organization. And you, I mean, you know that because you're like boots on the ground. I'm just assuming.
Well, and it's not like airy-fairy. It's fundamentally through like a leadership lens, I think about it as motivation, like intrinsic motivation. If you're not thinking about why you're doing the things that you're doing or how you want to do them differently, you become demotivated super quickly because all you feel like is a workhorse. So of course you lack that like drive and that ambition, and reflecting on meaning and reflecting on intention and reflecting on presence is what combats that.
Yeah. It's so good. I want to get into another coaching skill that I feel like might kind of be an eye-opener for some managers or leaders who are not currently implementing a lot of coaching inside of their organization. And maybe they're outsourcing it to a coach, who knows. But in coaching, we say that the coach should be speaking maybe 20 to 30% of the conversation, and the client would, or the coachee would be owning, you know, 70 to 80% of the actual noise in the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to being a manager, what advice can you give, or to be a coaching leader or whatever, what advice can you give to these people, these managers, these leaders, so that they can kind of sometimes keep their mouth shut a little bit more and hear more from whoever they're managing?
Hi, it's Kalia, IGC coach training grad and six-figure certified coach. I know you're here listening to these incredible stories of successful coaches and wondering, when will it be my turn? I'm sure you entered this year with the goal of finally stepping into your purpose. And there is no better way than enrolling in IGC's internationally accredited coach training program. Enrollment is open now, and it is your turn. So take the first step by going to innerglowcircle.com/call right now and book a free call with me. Your six-figure certified story starts today.
Which is like asking open-ended questions, not closed.
I don't even
questions.
Think that's obvious to everyone.
No. Okay. Well, ask open-ended questions instead of saying, did you get that thing done? What did you get done this week? Give them the space to like talk through all of, because what people choose to share when they're faced with a open-ended question is very illuminating in and of itself. The fact that they will maybe highlight the thing they're struggling with instead of showing you the things they've already done really well tells us something maybe about where they're at and about your relationship. So asking open-ended questions for sure. I think the second one is closing your computer and putting away your phone. So many people I talk to, they feel like their manager is just answering emails as they're having a conversation, and they don't really feel like heard and seen. So they're not going to open up. They're going to give you really quick answers. The other piece of active listening is like reframing, right? So reframing and rephrasing and reflecting, all the rewords that are coaching specific. But in coach training with IGC, we talked about how reflection is where you essentially mirror back to somebody what they've already said. So you repeat their exact words. And reframing is where you are using your own words to interpret what they're saying in a slightly more clear way. Right.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the coaching I did at Microsoft, for example, was around communications coaching. And so that was a technique we talked about a lot, was that if you want somebody to feel truly heard, stick with the reflection. Because if you go in with a reframe right away to prove you understood them, there's a chance that you misinterpret or that they feel like you were only listening to respond to them.
Oh.
So. Yeah, I like that idea of like stick with reflection. And then once you get to the end, maybe if you want to ask them, like if you want to summarize what they said and make sure you haven't missed anything, then you would do more of a reframe.
So good. You kicked off this episode by saying one of the main reasons anyone, especially organizations and humans inside of organizations, need coaching right now is because of bandwidth. And you are right. There have been so many times that I am half focused here, half focused there. And again, it's one of those things where it's like the email can wait, the text can wait, the scrolling or whatever you're doing in the background can wait. And it may feel like you're not getting as much done at the time, but I do believe, genuinely speaking, that you are slowing down a little bit. But it's like, come on, 5 wonderful, fully engaged minutes beat 15 minutes of being like, wait, what did you say? Wait, can you say that again? Because I'm also guilty of this.
Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, I'm like, this is why coaching has popped off in the last like 5 to 10 years, because attention, I truly believe true attention is the currency of the future. So you
you're getting it, right?
You're getting it less frequently from your friends, from your family, from, unless you're hiring somebody to give you attention, which maybe sounds weird, but that's what coaching is at its core, is like, we're asking somebody to, like, just like we would with a therapist, right? We're, with coaching, with leadership coaching specifically, we're asking somebody to look at us and to see the whole picture of what we're doing and to help us figure out what we could be doing differently. And nobody's doing that just like naturally or casually.
No, and nothing costs more than employee turnover, really. So it's worth it to invest your time and potentially money, of course, if you're going to bring a coach into your organization or hire Laura to develop your own leadership as a coaching manager, or coaching leader. But all of that is a much better use of your time, money, and energy than it is to constantly be rehiring. So one more question, I think. Who knows? It could be a couple more. But what is one question that you think anyone in a management or working with people position could ask in their next like one-on-one? So like, I know people, you know, you meet with your employees one-on-one here and there, but like, what is a great coaching question that at any level or any size organization anyone could use? Another one, I put you on the spot. Didn't prepare you.
That's okay. My initial thought is just, how can I help you this week most effectively?
Wow.
Because I think that gives them the space to say, like, I need more visibility. If it's more of a, they want exposure to higher level leaders, it also gives them the option to pick something very tactical. And it kind of opens up the space for a micro coaching conversation. Because if you say, how can I help you most effectively this week? And they say, oh, will you like read over this email before I send it? That to me is like, I can, but why are you not trusting yourself to send these messages? Or what's like the bigger challenge with this project? You know,
getting a coaching request. This is amazing. Okay, this is amazing. I'm also going to link a video. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm going to link a video that walks through an entire coaching session, because I think it's going to speak even more to what Laura is talking to. But what she's saying really in terms of this is like kind of getting their coaching request or their support request for the week. And then the follow-up question to that being like, what is this really about? Or how does this request play into like the bigger picture of what we're working on this week, or however often you meet with your team? I'm just having a lot of breakthroughs in this call with you.
Good.
You're so smart. Laura is so, so smart. And I've always thought that. And every time I talk to you, I'm like, I feel like you just do such a good job of taking sometimes seemingly heavy or complex issues, especially in the workplace, and saying like, it's actually not that hard. And all you really need to do is ask better questions, listen better. And I think this is going to be a really refreshing episode for anyone listening to this who may be at an impasse with a team member or not really sure how to grow in their own leadership. And some of it is just committing to these simple daily or weekly ways of communicating better.
Yeah. Okay, wait, I have one thing to add before we wrap up.
Please.
Is that okay?
Would, yes, many things.
The other thing I noticed when I was thinking about coaching and just its relationship to being a people leader and being a manager is that you have to take yourself out of the expert role, which we talk about, again, in coach training. We talk all the time about how you're not the expert. They're the expert of their lives. And that can be kind of challenging, especially for people who are new to coaching, because they feel like they have to kind of prove themselves as, I'm really good at this, and so you should come to these sessions and work with me. But the same thing goes for managers. A lot of times people get promoted because they're really good at the execution side of things, and they get promoted out of execution into management. And then they feel like they have to hold that like title of being really good still at execution. And it's like, you have to acknowledge that when you move into leadership, you're usually moving into a new phase of your career where you don't need to do. And in fact, the quicker you can let go of the execution stuff, the quicker you'll be better at your new role and your new phase. But that means you have to be okay with not being the expert anymore. So if you coach, instead of telling your people what to do, you're honoring them as the experts in their role. And you're showing like the humility that comes with confidence of a leader. I don't have to be the go-to person who tells you how to do everything. In fact, I'm here to help you better resource yourself.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for adding that. And of course, I'm like, you could tell me 10 million more things. We want to just have your brain forever. But I think you made so many good points. And I feel like a lot of this it's not inaccessible to the everyday leader. It's like I said at the beginning, whether you're managing a team of 2 or 200, implementing these coaching skills can absolutely change things. I feel like I'm at such an advantage managing our team because I'm trained as a coach. But also I absolutely 1,000% needed this refresher. And especially what you said at the end, like how many times have I hired like the top person who's like the amazing executor? And I'm like, you're a manager now. And they're like, yeah, right. Oh my gosh, so many good things in here. I am going to link all of Laura's information below. Laura, do you have something, like if someone is trying to up-level their leadership right now, like what can they do after this episode?
Yeah. If they go to my website, I have a free guide called The Hypo Path, The High Potential Path, which is basically a 7 or 8 step process to change the way that you're positioning yourself at work so that other people see you for the potential that you have in the future. So I would recommend going and grabbing that, and it's free.
Amazing. We will make sure that is linked everywhere. Laura's website, Laura's podcast, Laura's socials. So feel free to reach out to her. And if you are watching this from the angle of wanting to become an executive coach or leadership coach, we're also going to link a free workshop from IGC Coaching School called Get Paid to Coach that really helps you nail down your niche, figure out what kind of offer you would have. And I hope listening to Laura and getting inspired by her expertise and her excellence at coaching and also her resume fuels that fire inside of you to be a change maker. And Laura, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you so much for being here.
I love chatting with you anytime. Thank you.